Hello and welcome to Go Mode, a Link to the Past randomizer podcast. I'm Timp.
Oh yeah, I guess I'm going second this time around, huh? I'm Herfy Durfy.
Almost got you. I was worried. I didn't know if you were going to get in there or not.
Yeah.
There was definitely a second where I was a little scared.
I thought about it for a second, then I was like, yeah, I guess I'm going second this time around. That makes sense.
No, you killed it. It was probably the delay that I felt was probably just the, you know, different continents delay that we normally experience.
Yeah, that works for me.
You were right in there.
Maybe just has to do with the fact that Dante's not here.
Oh, well, and that brings us to our next topic, which is we are, in fact, Dante-less, but we are not daunted by that because we have in his stead guesting for us this episode, Adirondack Rick. Welcome, Rick.
Hello. Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
All around.
Yes. So we have had Adirondack Rick on the show before. I went and looked earlier today to see when that was. And do you want to take any guesses, Herf? What episode number that was?
I mean, I'm as they call it in the good old wrestling business, I'm going to keep up kayfabe and pretend I can see it in the outline.
Oh, crap. Yeah, never mind. Doi.
But
what would you have guessed? What felt right to you?
You know, I definitely remember that we had him on for that episode that you put in the outline. But I did think we had him on a second time in the meantime, at least once. Maybe I'm conflating it with like SGL stuff or a
I made a behind the scenes guest appearance at SGL when I was trying to talk to you all.
Right. That you did.
Right. That's true. Yeah. And that is, I mean, that's an official Go Mode episode. That's like a main series, you know, so that is true. That's the second appearance. But no, the first appearance was episode 28, which we recorded on August 24th of 2019. So basically 100 episodes ago, which it's shocking that we've been making this show for that long, but also really cool that there are people in this community like Rick who were around then and very prominent then and are still around and very prominent now. And of course, what we had Rick to talk on when we had him the first time was all about commentary and how to commentate matches for this game. And it kind of ties into why you're here now as well. Right, Rick?
I was dragged here by Herfy, so I guess I wasn't given quite the entire spiel of why I'm here, but I was just told to just smile and look pretty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which he's knocking out of the park, by the way. I know that y'all can't see this podcast. But looking so pretty. So Rick, came on to talk about commentary before and has been continuing to provide excellent commentary in the community and has really stepped up and done quite a bit for this tournament as well. So has had the opportunity to just sit back and watch a lot of the races in the main tournament. And so that's one of the main reasons, you know, why you're here, other than, you know, being cool and our friend and all that. but we would love to hear from you how, you know, from your perspective, the main tournament has been going, and just talk to us about it.
Well, so the main tournament at this point in time is most of our matches are starting to get into the round of 32 and into the round of 16. And I'll first of all talk about the bracket itself, because as you know, because of the Go Mode podcast mentor tournament, there's been a lot of great new runners coming onto the scene over the years. Like, for instance, we can talk about one of our round of 32 pairings that features Brad Cunn, who was one of the alum from last year's mentor tournament, who's still kicking it out of the park. Going to be facing off against Mr. Ed in that round of 32 pairing. And I know there's some other new blood to the scene. Like, for instance, Dr. Bowser, who came along and now is in the round of 32. They were a fourth quartile when it came to getting into the tournament and then found themselves as the number 61 seed. I don't think a lot of people expected him to take down the runner-up to the Speed Gaming Live in-person tournament in Illis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. And now facing off against Artie Walsh V, which I've said a few times on this podcast, one of my favorite people in this community, even though we don't interact directly a lot, they regularly post on Twitter and they're hilarious. Everyone go give Bob Walsh a follow. but they are both 1-1 right now in their round of 32. So that's one that's going to be worth watching, that game three.
Yeah, so Dr. Bowser took game one and Artie Walsh took game two. Game three is later this week that we're recording this. So definitely give a lot of props to Dr. Bowser for forcing this into a game three against two well-known runners in the community. I think the 2C knocking off Sailor-Nep is definitely another storyline of this tournament here, knocking off Sailor-Nep 2-0 after Sailor-Nep ended up going 6-0 in the group phase. That's then right, defeated yeah. Nightclaw 2-0, so was undefeated in this tournament up until that point. And 2C now gets Orange, who finally got the monkey off his back, made it into a bracket phase after a few rounds where he made it into the group phase and just couldn't get out. Now he knocked off Skelly in the first round, 2-1, knocked off Ascend 2-0 in the second round. Now gets 2C in the round of 16. And one of the names that came back now is Ninjembro, and he's been kicking butt this year. Like, you saw him in the Casual Boots Invitational, got to the championship there against Ganon's Gone Wild on the ladder. And now here he is now in the round of 16 facing off against Tito there, knocked off Hula Ninja and also knocked off Big Dunka in the first round. And he said to me that Big Dunka was probably the harder of the two as far as his stress level was concerned of the first two matches in the bracket phase. But definitely a lot of key things to keep an eye out. Like, for instance, like I mentioned, the alums from the Mentor Tournament, they've been doing a great job throughout this. And there's just been so many surprises. Like, you take a look, the Speed Gaming Live winner from last year, Relkin, he's gone. The spoiler winner, Zelga, he's gone. Last year's tournament winner, Obscure Lifeform, he's gone as well.
Yeah, wow. Very true.
And, yeah,
I want to really ahead, quickly just give a shout out, despite Dante not being here currently, Orange, who you mentioned here going up against 2C soon, the latest guest on his spoiler log episode. So if you're interested in that, go give that a listen. You know, I'm not trying to show any bias or anything, but cool to see that he moved on and is now facing 2C, who's as you said, also, you know, making a pretty good name for himself, beating all his opponents to do nothing, and especially going over Sailor Nep. Pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think probably a couple of other things, because I mentioned about how Zelga got knocked off. Flipheel, I don't think a lot of people saw Flipheel doing that, beating Zelga 2-1. Now gets the pairing against the number 2 seed in the bracket phase against Tito's. Spleeby's been doing pretty well, knocked off previous tournament winner Jet in the first round. Now is up against Lin Lin Lin. Matt's doing pretty well. Got pushed to a game three by Tyler Salt. Now gets Katie Ukawa. Magnet Hands, he's definitely come along as well over the last couple of years. It's really been nice to see Magnet Hands come into his own. Gets a tough battle here with Structural Mike, who's another up and coming performer here. Did solid last year, now doing even better this year. So. Definitely good to see all these names moving on. Humbug, of course, the overall number one seed into the out of the qualifiers, is currently up 1-0 over Plasma Kappa. And can't forget about your number one seed, Tam, against Radical Sniper. That's going to be a pretty solid pairing right there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think there are several races. I'm going to do a little research into some of the ones that we've mentioned here, some of those game threes, game twos. If they have not happened by the time this podcast comes out, I will link the time and the place where you can see them, because I think a lot of these could be really fun races to watch. And ones that have already happened, I'll see what I can do about maybe giving you a Twitch FOD. But that definitely gives us, I would say, three or four really fun, kind of high profile races to look out for. That's great.
Yeah, this tournament's been pretty well as far as how fast it's been moving along. I definitely can give a lot of props to the admin crew for coming up with the async aspect that we wound up doing for part of our qualifiers. We didn't want to totally get rid of the live in-person qualifiers, but we realized that time is precious and not everyone has a whole lot of time. So that's where the qualifiers kind of came into its, let's see if there's a way that we can do it async and have it be actually protected. Let's go ahead and do that. And for the most part, everything did pretty well. And a big shout out to Synac for the programming of, well, what became a really well ran and executed qualifier setup.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we covered that kind of going into the tournament and then, you know, gave people's impressions on how it was working out. But I don't really remember hearing any negative feedback or big issues with the way that it worked. And you're absolutely right. Huge props to Synac for the successful deployment of what I'm sure will be a community resource from here on out for the remainder until someone comes along and improves on it. But
we pretty much used that system for the aptitude seeds that we let people run. It kind of, you know, it worked on the same technology, so to speak. And it was a little bit of a different use case, but it worked just as flawlessly.
Yeah, I think Josh Bittner is looking into maybe doing something similar for the Casual Boots tournament that he's planning as well. So this kind of paved the path forward to more abilities for other tournaments to do this if they want to kind of get people an opportunity to participate, but can't make like a 3 p.m. on a Saturday race because they've got life going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Well, great stuff. I'm like reinvigorated, excited to go track down some of these matches and follow some of these threads throughout the main tournament. Anything else you wanted to say about main? Because we do have some other tournaments to cover, but I want to make sure we're thorough here.
Yeah. So you, one of the things I think you wanted to kind of talk upon is some of the best matches that we've had over the course of this tournament. And so obviously there's been a lot of dramatic races going on. Some of these that just seem a little bit lopsided, but you know, that's what rando is. One person gets lucky, the other person doesn't. But some interesting matches to follow. We mentioned Magna Hans just a few moments ago, his match against Tiger Power when they were racing in the open hard. That one was pretty solid. The winner of that match was by 17 seconds. The closest win of the tournament and the only one that we've had to put into the admin's microscope of the frame count, I believe it was Allison Hayfield Bay. That match was decided by a grand total of 2 seconds. That race was back on April 30th. Which was open hard. It was 126-12 versus 126-13. We did the frame count on it, and it turned out to be just short of a 2-second victory for Hayfield Bay.
Oh, wow.
Damn. Yeah.
Wow.
And that is That's the awesome. Only race so far of the tournament that we had to put under the admin's frame count rule.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, we'll definitely put a link to that one. I'm sure we'll be able to dig it up somewhere. At the very least, you can go to, you know, scroll to the very end and just watch the commentators, you know, losing their minds, which I'm sure they were. So that's awesome. That's a good one. Great. Any others?
So let me see. I think, you know, there's definitely a couple of good battles between Matt 7898 versus Zelga Dissan in the group phase, including one where Matt ended up winning that one by about 30 seconds or so. Some tight finishes. Like I said, there's been some tight finishes. There's been some crazy seeds where it's just been absolutely bonkers where the seed wanted these runners to wind up going, especially the Ambrosias. Like, for instance, I think Skelly versus Orange, one of those matches that got restreamed, turned out to be, hey, you want your Moon Pearl? Well, you're going to have to go into the Ice Palace to get it. Good luck. You don't have a whole lot of health either.
Yeah. Ice Palace, low health, kill me. that's my math equation of the day.
And I forget exactly where this was and what was the runners at this stage, but I know there was one race that had the Moon Pearl on Trinex.
Oh,
that's
and they didn't get the Moon Pearl until about an hour in.
Mm-hmm. I just got the taste of ashes in my mouth all of a sudden. Wow. Well, we love to see them as spectators, right? You love those like super awful punishing seeds. I know it doesn't feel good to play them as the player, but it's like why we love randomizers. It gives us those wild situations, you know?
And I think to segue into topic number two, I think I can speak of about one match that got restreamed over on Zelda Speedruns over in the Challenge Cup that turned out to be absolutely nasty.
Well, please, by all means, tell us about it. So we're into our Challenge Cup recap now.
All right. So the Challenge Cup aspect here, it was the run is the same way as the main tournament, where if you got into a tiebreaker, it was a 4-2 tiebreaker, actually. So the top two finishers go on to the next stage of the tournament, the bracket phase. So it was, I believe, Group T was the group of it there. I know Adelor was one of the runners. It was Fad Keys for the tie-breaking match. So get this. You go into GT, you wind up getting, of course, because of the rules of fad keys, the GT big key was in Ganon's tower. Mm-hmm. You get the big chest. There is your swamp big. Think, okay, there's nothing special about that. But we're still missing the hookshot. Guess where the hookshot is?
Oh, no.
V-A-N-I-L-L-A. Ooh, in a tiebreaker.
Great.
So who knew how to hover?
I don't think any of the three did actually hover, but they all chased it over to Swamp Palace where they were able to get the hookshot to wind up finishing off their final pendant to be able to defeat Ganon.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, they still had to get a pendant anyway.
Right. It's all dungeons.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, man, that's so gross.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. Not, at least not to play. You know,
we was it everyone's watching. Last check or...
It was pretty much the final check, because why would you
right.
go and search all the GT without being able to wind up going other places? You're going to make it so that big chest is pretty much your last location ever. And it turned out to be. And it was just a crazy, crazy way for the loser of that race to get bounced out of the tournament. But it had to happen.
Gross was, and cool. It was Group X, by the way.
It was Group X. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll definitely throw a link to that one in the description if you want to scrub to that moment.
All right, Group T was my group.
Right. I was going to say Group T is the group you're in.
Yeah, and speaking of your group, how has your experience been so far playing through?
So there's been some crazy seeds of our own that just was absolutely bonkers. Like, for instance, the final race of my group phase against Quiz Bowl was pretty much if I win, I can avoid a 4-2 tiebreaker race. And this was right after the madness that was that fad key. So I'm like, I want to stay out of this. I want to stay out of this tiebreaker as much as possible. And what does the bot roll? Ambrosia, which is my least played and my least experienced mode. So it's like, come on. And so I believe, if I remember correctly, you had to defeat Aga 1 to get to the light world. And then you had to do the Breadsmith chain in order to get your Moon Pearl.
Oh man. Good times.
I'm sure there's no mirror to be found.
Well, you have to have the mirror in order to do the Breadsmith chain.
Okay.
That's the way
I know little to nothing about Ambrosia as well, as you could probably tell.
That's how the Breadsmiths are in Logic.
Okay.
Without the Moon Pearl.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That makes sense.
But
But for Bunny, you can Bunny Walk it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. Oh man, that's rough. Okay. So, but like as of this recording, you were very much still in the mix. How are you feeling about things currently?
Well, I felt a little upset after I lost to IB Karma in game one of that best of three against him in the first round. That was in Ambrosia. That was where the desert big key, I believe it was, over in Checkerboard Cave. And I just kind of was like, it's only two checks. What's it going to do to me? And it turned out to actually just destroy me. I mean, shout outs to IB Karma. He had the god route for that. And it's kind of hard to defend that when you're also getting a seed that sets up, hey, guess what? You can get a GT without a hookshot. Mm-hmm. Guess where the hookshot was? Catfish.
Yay.
All the way over on the other side of the world. So I got through that one, then knocked off the last two there to move on to round two. Then just recently ended up knocking off Kefka 2-0. And there's a couple of matches there against IB Karma where I should not have moved on, but it was just one check made the difference in both of those races. And it just shows anyone who's listening here the importance of if you skip one check, it can burn you. And it unfortunately burned IB Karma. It happens. It's Rando.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rando gonna Rando. Yeah. It's a double edge too. I mean, that same sort of situation can give you a win, you know? Mm-hmm. So it really goes both ways, but congrats to you for staying in it, and good luck against TT Chaos and hopefully beyond.
Yeah, we're going to start getting that one scheduled. It looks like it's going to be coming up real soon, but we haven't finalized the dates just yet. But that should be a fun pairing of us here. I know TT Chaos knocked off Noche Beto in three games. I'll be keeping an eye on those three games just to see kind of their tendencies, but it should be a fun series coming up here. And looking at the deck, it looks like we can stay away from the Ambrosia.
Nice. Well,
at least
crossed.
For game one.
Yeah.
In many ways, you've already won.
Yes.
By not having to play Ambrosia.
And yeah, indeed. Just talking about the other things going on with the Challenge Cup, there's still a lot of strong runners in the Challenge Cup. Like, it shows you something when Magno Hado is not able to make it to the main tournament. And he was the number one seed coming into the bracket phase of this. And he's got a tough matchup against Zeruvian coming up here. That's not an easy matchup here in your first round that you're actually playing, because he ended up getting a first round bye, because everyone who wound up going 6-0 in the group phase got a first round bye. And Kuhaish versus Zeke Haiwin, that one's a tough pairing right there. They're both 1-1. And there's definitely a few alums from the Mentor tournament in there as well. Like, I noticed Iceman currently in the second round knocked off Captain 2-0 in that first round pairing. So last summer against Yukikaze, and you screw on down, still difficult. Zero Nix is still in this. Rambler is still in this. Pi is still in this. So a lot of strong names still on this board. Even James F and X.
Yeah. Very strong names. Yeah. Very, very many. I'm surprised by, you know, how many I'm recognizing here as we scroll through this particular challenge. And same thing with the main tournament. A lot of really good names that have been eliminated, you know, as we've already discussed, rando is going to rando sometimes, but
it's a game of luck.
It is in many ways a game of luck. So yeah, excellent. Well, thank you for that recap of the Challenge Cup. Any final thoughts?
I really got nothing else to say about the Challenge Cup. I'm more interested in my challenge prediction for the Challenge Cup. My main prediction is dead. My main tournament prediction is dead. Like, I lost Zelga. I had him to win. I lost probably, I don't know if I really had lost 3/4 of my final four, but it seems that way at this point. It's dead. I don't have a chance to win that one.
Yeah. I guess shout outs, now that you mentioned that, shout outs to Magno Hado for currently, as of this recording, being ranked number one in their predictions, with 47 picks potentially still able to be correct out of 53. Yeah, it's kind of fun to go through these predictions. I forget that they're a thing a lot of the time, honestly. But here's yours. Friends don't let friends play rando unless it's against each other.
Yeah, I decided I'm going to have a little bit of fun with the Challenge Cup. Like, okay, I know a lot of people in the community. Why not make it so that the brackets kind of get each other paired up? You know, like, for instance, I, on the bottom part of this bracket, will wind up getting up against Rambler.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
Let's have some fun with it.
Yeah, yeah, I love it. That's awesome. Cool. Well, we'll check the description of this episode. Of course, we're going to have all kinds of links for you, main tournament and Challenge Cup related races, upcoming races, all that good stuff. Now, Rick, we generally have a rule on this podcast implemented in somewhat more recent times where we talk about the beginning of a tournament, and then when it ends, we talk about the winners, and then we kind of just like slowly, quietly keep track of these tournaments. Not really like reporting on them every single time. We have three in that category right now, which is the main tournament, Challenge Cup, and All Dungeons Key Sanity tournament. And we are breaking our own rule because I was looking at the update of the AD Keys tournament. And as I was updating our outline, saw that you are in this freaking tournament. So we might as well talk about it a little bit. How has the AD Keys tournament been going?
I faced against Structural Mike in the 1-2 bracket. Next question, please.
All right.
Next question, please. That says it all. Like,
yeah.
I've been getting really rough pairings here for the All Dungeons Key Sanity. It all started with the week number one where I got my pairing there and it was like, okay, so let's see. 0-1 incoming. Here we go. Now, here we go. One in the 0-1 bracket. And I think they're just a little bit of routing issues, and that combined with maybe not necessarily knowing my opponent as great as I should have. And then Josh Bittner was my week three opponent, and that one could have gone either way. Mm-hmm. Like, my routing wasn't the strongest, but I did get bailed out a little bit, and then I get Structural Mike, and let's just say that the crap hit the fan with that one. My routing died, and I died to Mothula twice. So that, oof, there you go.
Oh, man.
Hello, one and three.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's such a motivation killer, too, when you take two deaths in a row to a boss. It's like, yeah.
Well, it's already
what do we do now? You know?
It's already a motivation killer when you wind up winning against Josh Bittner, and then here's your next pairing, and you're up against Structural Mike, who's in the main tournament bracket round. It's like,
yeah, that's the deck definitely stacked against you right there.
Yeah.
Is this a mode that you play a lot of, or was it like, oh, you know, I'll give it a go?
I do try to do some all dungeons. Like, for instance, back when we had the league, I think season 2, if I remember correctly, or maybe it was season 3. That was when I played the all dungeons Key Sanity race against Fant. So I usually try to make myself the one available for that mode. So I do have a little bit of experience with All Dungeons Key Sanity. But the problem with All Dungeons Key Sanity, which is kind of where my ability runs a little short, is that it is a who can route better, which that's kind of something that I can't do sometimes, and also who can execute, which anyone who saw the Arior restream of my race against Structural Mike knows. Let's just say that when you're picking up your pieces of dead Super Bunny off the floor against Mothula, that kind of says it all on who executed better.
Well, I mean, I have to say, I definitely admire you getting in there and going up against all of these, you know, titans of the ALTTPR community. I mean, it's a fun experience, win or lose, to be able to play against that kind of talent.
Yeah, it's always nice to be able to play against top runners. Sometimes it can knock yourself down like a whack-a-mole, but you do gain a little bit of experience. Shout-outs to Magna Hands, who's knocked me out twice. He's responsible for 2 of my 4 losses this season on the ladder, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Both in cross keys.
Dang. Good stuff. Awesome. Well, let's see. Anything else to speak about on AD keys, or should we move on?
I think that I said enough about AD keys as far as myself is concerned.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate the input, the first person perspective there. We just have a few other things to go over in terms of community news. So one is we recently saw the announcement of the 6th Francophone tournament. So that we'll put a link to in the description for rules and the Discord. But just briefly, this is not our first, Francophone tournament that we've announced here. I don't think this one is particularly different than the others, but it's just the newest version. Tournament will start with a 5-week group phase, followed by a best of 3 single elimination bracket with numerous modes selected by the players. So this is for anyone who speaks French either natively or not. Conversationally, I understand, is okay. It's kind of just if you can do the end interview in that language, in this case French, then you'll be in good shape. So if that applies to you, registration is open until Friday, June 16th at the end of that day Eastern time. And good luck to everyone who participates in that tournament and all of the folks that are running it. And just love to see all of the different language communities that we have that are associated with our, you know, main English one, I guess, if you want to say. It's just cool to like remember how international this community is. And, you know, this is a perfect example of that. So best of luck to all y'all.
Wee.
I think that's okay, right? I think that
hopefully I think that's fine. I'm just saying yes. Come on.
Merci beaucoup, Mimi.
How often have I said yeah on this podcast?
Kind of a lot, actually. That's a very good point.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, in that same voice and everything. So it's I think it's totally fine. You know what? As Penance Herf, just in case it's not, why don't you go ahead and take the next,
item here. I'll talk about the latter season 19 announcement. I think the most interesting thing is what we've written down here in our outline, the two new modes that we've introduced or are trying to introduce, I should say. I'll start with the one that we've listed as a second one here, which is the mode that was chosen by our patrons. So named Patron Party after, I think, a slightly modified suggestion by Dante that eventually won the naming competition in Dunkasat. As I said, the latter patrons voted on the different, you know, phases, so to speak, different, you know, the goal, the mode, the world stage, all the good stuff. And they came up with the following. It is an inverted Ganon hunt. So it's an inverted seat, and you got to find 40 out of 50 Triforce pieces with full key sanity shuffle and a boss shuffle. But the little twist is that GT is always open at zero crystal, so you can basically immediately, as soon as you manage to make your way up there, at least you can enter GT and look around in there. And you get a couple of really neato starting items, I think. So you start with an activated flute, with a hookshot, with a power glove, and you get pseudo boots, so you can run around fast.
Decked out, man.
Yeah, it's great, right? I think it's pretty good. Like, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah, this one sounds like it's going to be actually a really fun one. I've seen a lot of people talking about it, and they're looking forward to seeing what winds up happening here with this whole slew of things put together, especially the inverted part, which, I mean, GT is open at zero crystals, but you got to get that light world access first.
Right. That's the whole idea. So I think this one is one to look forward to. And the next one is one that me and Danka had a very divided opinion on, I would say. Not necessarily opinion, but expectation of how people would receive it.
The tea, girlfriend.
It's the so-called Hundo Key Sanity. So this is new in that this is the first time where we're really kind of requiring the people to police each other and themselves. It is a full Key Sanity seed with 100% locations available to you, and you must clear 216 out of 216 locations. So you must grab every item. That includes every big chest, including stuff like the GT big chest that you might normally never get. Every freestanding item, you know, you might walk up to Zora Ledge and see it's a green rupee, and you're like, I can skip that. Nope, you can't.
Not this time.
Pick it up. So that's the idea behind it. There's currently some technical issues that are being worked on, as far as I'm understanding it. I don't want to promise anything, but there's some communication going on between the devs and Danka and me. And the latest information that we've gotten is that there is a possibility that we can get 216 out of 216 items Ganon vulnerability. So it will check, you know, like it would normally check in a normal seed if you had 7 crystals. Only then can you hurt Ganon. So it will check instead if you've collected every item that there is.
Oh, cool.
And we might also get the item counter that's always present on the HUD that's available in the Doors branch. If you've ever played a Doors seed, you probably remember that there's a little item counter at the top that shows, you know, how many items out of how many total items you've collected in the seed. So that'll make it easier for you not to, like, accidentally forget anything or, you know, maybe not remember that you didn't get something or so.
It's a really cool way to do that, to have the seed tell you. Yeah,
I right.
thought of that.
So it'll probably be a new goal, as far as I understand it. But we're trying to make it happen. As I said, I don't want to promise anything, but it sounds like it might be ready before the season 19 starts. So if we're lucky, everything should work out in that regard.
So this is really cool. It kind of is amazing to me that the concept of, like, 100%ing a seed, like, it almost never comes up, right? Like, I feel like it's not something we've ever really talked about on this show before,
that's
right?
The thing where I thought, or where the division between me and Danka came from, because he said, well, you know, I think the people who enjoy playing all dungeons will enjoy this as well, because, you know, it's about efficiently clearing the seed. And I said, yeah, but isn't full clearing a seed the exact opposite of what everyone in every mode ever playing rando is trying to do? You're trying to get as little items as possible to finish the seed as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Why or how would a full clear mode ever be attractive to you?
Yeah.
Right? So that's the two extremes, obviously. You know, I can see how it would be interesting to some people and why it would be interesting. And I'm kind of interested in it, to be honest. But it's, you know, it feels like the antithesis of what rando usually is. And that kind of was a funny kind of juxtaposition that happened there.
But you do know that there are some runners out there that do love to do 216 as a challenge run. I know of a few streamers themselves that like to do it. So I can definitely see where the idea and inspiration of the 216 came from.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think this is one of those classic examples of, like, I can absolutely see that there are people that would want to play this, but not me.
Yeah,
you know, like, I get it, but not for me, for the reason you mentioned. I just don't have the time or the patience to go around and get 100%, you know, and I will go as fast as I can if I have to do it. But I'm sure someone will probably do it faster than me and then I'll lose. And I think I
could see myself doing it like casually if I'm bored and like on a Saturday afternoon or something. And I feel like playing rando, I could see myself pulling one of these out. But I don't think I'd want to play it competitively on a ladder or like in a tournament or something.
Yeah. Now, there was an interesting sentence. I wanted to ask you about this, Herf. And if you don't have the answer, that's totally fine. But he said, we had some people testing the new Hundo Key Sanity modes and found some issues in the way that the randomizer treats 100% locations. Long story short, it isn't working properly. Mm-hmm. It isn't something that we can directly take care of. So I understand now what you've said about the way around it being just counting the items, you know, having the game do that for you, and the devs are looking into that, which is super cool. Do you know what this 100% locations issue was? Yeah, was the seed generating seeds where you can't get 100% of the items?
Yeah, pretty much. It was like a logic problem. It would still generate seeds where small keys might be locked behind themselves, which obviously shouldn't happen in 100% location because you could never get it, right? So stuff like that would still happen.
Okay.
And it was purely a technical problem, not like, people don't understand how to get to 16 locations or whatever. It was just the logic for 100% locations wasn't working as you would expect from the 100% locations goal.
Like, for instance, the Hera Small being locked in its own chest.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Or like Thieves has a similar thing.
It can do. Exactly. Thieves Town, big chest, can lock up like a small key VM, so you can never get to the big chest, right? So that's a location you can just never get.
So has that always just not worked and no one really knew until just now?
Probably.
Yeah, because I don't think a lot of people wound up playing 100% locations as a setting for the randomizer in a community aspect. Maybe some people outside of the main core community did that, but never reported, hey, we have an issue with this.
And it's also like, if you think about it in that way, it's also a bit of a kind of a legacy thing. You know, it's still in there because that's how it used to be. But it's not really how people play rando these days. So it's still there because, you know, why remove it? But I don't think a lot of people are like, yes, that's what I'm doing today.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of funny. Well, I'm glad that it's being looked at. And I think that's a really cool mode. I'm excited to see what the reaction is to it over on the ladder.
I think now with if we do get those improvements, you know, with the Ganon vulnerability and especially the item counter on the screen at all times, I think it's a lot more attractive to people potentially. Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the times are going to look like. Are they going to be like 2 hours, 2:15 or, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Or, I mean, other people have to see, not me. Mm-hmm. I will just see. I won't find out for myself.
I'll just sit here and watch.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm with you, Rick. All right, GMP community updates. So the registration for the Mentor Tournament 2023 for racers has officially closed. The last day was last Friday, June 2nd. But applications are still open if you are interested in being a mentor or if you want to help with our restream crew. So that's restreaming, commentating, or tracking. We have plenty of open positions to do any of those things, especially the mentoring. We're going to need as many mentors as we can. And we want to be able to provide that to our racers to have a lot of variety and options, because we also don't want to get our mentors burnt out. So get those applications in if you're interested. If you feel like you could help some new folks get into the community, we'd love to have your name on the list. This week right now is Boots Camp, which is something we've been doing since 2020, just a informal kind of week of learning. The activity this time, shout out to Lumaga for putting all this together, is we're doing live VOD reviews each night, and we're doing them all at different times. Mondays was at midnight, kind of a late night one. Tuesdays yesterday was at 4 p.m. The one today, if you're listening to this the morning it comes out, is going to be at 2 p.m. Thursday is 9 p.m. and Friday is 10 p.m. And these are all Eastern daylight time. So basically what this is, I've explained it before, but we've had some new people submit some VODs of themselves going through a seed, just a random kind of seed. And then what we're going to do is have that restreamed on our channel, and two mentors are going to be watching and providing live feedback on the decisions that the person has made, give some pointers on execution, just whatever they happen to notice and can provide as a note, if you will. And of course, the people who are submitting these VODs knew what this was for, and they're not going to be blindsided like, hey, why are you talking so much crap about me? They've asked for this service, and I think it's going to be very, very useful to them as well. So check those out happening this week. And if you're not able to catch any of them live, we will have the VODs bounced over to our Go Mode Podcast YouTube channel. And we say this every so often, but we need to give another huge shout out to our behind the scenes champion, Zeitnix, who has for years been going through our Twitch channel and just bouncing all of them over to YouTube without anyone asking him to, which is a extremely valuable service that we really, really appreciate. So thank you, Zeitnix, for continuing to do that. And to all of you, like I said, if you missed the VOD, check out YouTube. They'll be there. Another VOD you can find on YouTube is from our kickoff race, which was Class Warfare. It was our 2019 versus 2020 versus 2021 versus 2022 racers. I heard that went great. I still haven't watched the VOD yet, but I've got it on my to-do list. I'll probably listen to it tomorrow at work. But I heard it went really well, and I'm really excited to check it out. So that's everything I had. That's all the mentor tournament stuff. So, okay, sweet. Well, we need to pick a biweekly seed real quick. So the last one we did was a casual boots. I really would like to do one of these new ladder modes, but I don't know.
I was going to say, I'm currently already typing at Dunker. If I can, he gave me an API endpoint a while ago, which enables me to generate ladder seeds, basically. But I'm not sure if the new mode is in there yet. At worst, I can either get him to make one for me, or we can steal one of the practice seeds. Until the Hundo Key Sanity one is fixed, it's probably not a really great idea to take one of those. So I would suggest we do one of those patron party ones. It's not as not as beginner friendly, I would say, as our normal choices, but it's still a pretty good one to try out, I'd say, especially considering the starting equipment and everything that you get and that you have available to you. So give it a shot, and I'll try to grab us a seat.
Yep. That sounds good. I like it. Awesome. Yeah, I'm good doing a kind of harder one, because I think we did an open and then a casual boots for our last two. So I'm okay with kind of turning up the heat a little bit. Okay. By the way, I was just looking at the casual boots race. We had 29 folks submit times for that. So back to those numbers we're a little more used to. We did that one festive and got two. Yeah. And I was like, oh no, everyone is.
Well, you know, the festive was a special case, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad we didn't offend anyone so bad that they wouldn't come back and play some of the friendlier, newer modes and things. So
you know how the random community is. They see a seed and they can't really hold back.
Can't resist. Yep, that's right. Cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead and start to wrap this one up. All right, so you can email us at gomodepodcast@gmail.com. Is it still funny, or is it kind of normalized now?
I think it's turned around to, you know, for a while it was probably just funny to me and it got a little bit annoying, but now it's turned around to just being funny again.
Yeah. So it used to be email at gomodepodcast.com. We're not so sure what's going on with that address, so we apologize. But gomodepodcast@gmail.com definitely works. And in fact, somebody took advantage of that to send us a fetch question. So we have a fetch question here from Amphibious T-Rex. Shout outs to you. Thanks for the email. We've gotten some from them in the past, and they always have great questions. So this time they sent us an email, and the subject line was spooky action glitch. And the body was as follows. I wonder if anyone has looked into whether spooky action could be used to make pod routing any better or swamp left side diver down. Really any dungeon with crystal switches. Even if there isn't any application, it would be cool to hear why not, whether it's an issue of arming it or finding a place to use it. And that was from Amphibious T-Rex. So really thought-provoking question. When I got this, I spent a little bit of time thinking about it and going back to our last episode where we talk about ancillary glitches, of which this is one. The answer, unfortunately, my answer is I don't know. I have no idea. But I have to admit, like, from what I know about spooky action, so you arm it by using the flute and then moving Link's or your sprite's position down while the bird flies off the screen. And that kind of makes a mismatch in your in the like code part that this like overwrites or whatever you want to call it.
Something like that. Yeah.
Ancillary position. Right. And when that happens, anytime you use a fire rod, it where you think you're shooting, it actually shoots at like a good screen or so higher than your than the one that you're on, which mm-hmm. means somewhere like in Meyer basement, you shoot the fire rod directly to the left and you hit a switch that's in the room above you. And that way you save yourself having to bomb a wall and go back and forth. And it really does save a bunch of time. There's mm-hmm. more there, but that's why it happens is the bird going off the screen. And I actually have had ancillary glitches that have worked to my benefit in places other than Meyer before. I think I talked about them on the podcast, but it's been a long time. So there was a time early on in my career where I was playing and I think I was restreamed. So if I can find a video, I'll share it, but don't hold your breath. What I had done was I was in Skull Woods in the back and using my fire rod on all of the Gibdos walking around in that one room where you have to light the torches. And somehow there was, I shot a fire rod and it burned a Gibdo up at the top of the screen. And then another Gibdo ran into that fire, but I hadn't actually shot there. I had shot to my right. And that was like an ancillary higher one that had worked to like burn two more Gibdos or something like that. So I do know it's possible to like use this glitch elsewhere. And I even know it's possible for it to benefit you, but specifically to address the question of, you know, using it to hit another crystal switch, I can see how Swamp could benefit from that. If you can bring the armed ancillary, you know, spot all the way over to there. I don't know if that's possible or not. I don't know. What do you guys think? What do you remember about this glitch? And what are your thoughts on like, is it transferable? And do you think anyone's tried?
I think specifically for Swamp, and this might be completely wrong, but I think specifically for Swamp, the whole jumping off stuff or jumping into the water kind of messes with the Ancilla, as far as I'm aware, and that kind of disarms it or whatever. So that might be a problem there. I unfortunately also like have very little technical understanding, especially of what happens with spooky. I know what happens on screen. You know, you're shooting at a spike, but you're hitting the crystal switch that to screen up. I can't really answer the question why it's not applicable anywhere else or why, you know, nobody's using it anywhere else, but I'm almost 100% sure that other people have looked into whether it's applicable somewhere else and have not come up with anything useful, or we would all know about it.
Yeah, I think this is a case where Yuzuhara has been looking at this, trying to look to see if this could be applicable in other cases. And of course, as you know, a lot of the glitches that we know about these days are compliments of Yuzuhara and all the work that they've done on the glitch scene.
Yeah, I have to imagine. Yuzuhara, I feel like I haven't seen them around lately. They haven't broken this game recently. I'm sure right after I say that, they'll come out of the woodwork and introduce some crazy new glitch. But excellent point. That is someone that you would almost expect to take a glitch like this and try it anywhere and everywhere that it can be done. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if anything useful would have come out of that research, they would have announced it and we would have integrated it. But I'm not 100% sure. I know a lot of the glitches get developed for the NMG run. And this particular Meyer one, extremely useful in NMG. Maybe no one else has labbed it out in other places just because they just assumed that this is the only one. But this is the only one that's been tested because it was needed for NMG. So it's possible.
I would be very surprised if over the the spread out community of Yuzuhara, the NMG runners, and the Rando community, all of which have people who like to sit down and lab things out, nobody has ever gotten the idea, hey, maybe this thing that we're doing in Meyer might be useful anywhere else.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely super curious to hear if anyone listening has any thoughts or experiences with this. Please, you know, enlighten us in the Go Mode podcast server and channel. Super curious to hear people with more, you know, technical knowledge about the game weigh in on this particular question from Amphibious T-Rex. Mm-hmm. So thank you again for that question. If you want to send us one, again, that email is gomodepodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter. We're on Twitch. We're on YouTube. You can just Google us. You'll pretty much find all of our stuff or whatever. Let's get into some shout outs. So I'm going to go for Dante, who was not able to join us for this recording, but is like around, you know, so he was chatting with us in the host channel and shared an event he was at this past weekend. From what I can gather, it seems like he got together with a bunch of SMX people, one of which I think was maybe an official SMX person, a water salad. I could be wrong about that, but seems like seven of them got together in a person's house that has this game and had their own tournament that they put together. Started as a meme, eventually became a thing, and actually, from what Dante reported, was really close in terms of who actually ended up winning. He said something about like a three-way tie for first that had to be broken to decide the winner. But so I'm shouting out this SMX Salad Bowl tournament on Dante's behalf. He shared a link to the broadcast and a few Twitch clips from the competition themselves. So I'll put all of that in the episode description. And I think that's why Dante wasn't able to record us with us, is because he was in that. So super cool. And we'll look forward to asking him again in person how all that went. I do have a shout out for myself, but I want to take a turn away from talking. So Herf, why don't you jump in here with the shout out?
All right. I'm trying to figure out what I want to shout out, because we talked a little bit before we started recording. I've been playing a lot of like stuff for a little bit lately. I think I'll just kind of lump it together. I started playing the System Shock remake. Lots of fun, very faithful to the original, which also means it's very hard and confusing on what you have to do. So if you don't remember, you might want to play with a guide. I finished, oh my God, I'm going to read the full name just because it deserves it. So give me 1 second.
This is like a Hypnospace Outlaw spinoff.
Right. This is a Hypnospace Outlaw spinoff. In Hypnospace Outlaw, you came to the website of the creator, in big air quotes, of this game. And now you actually get to play it. It's called Slayer's X, Terminal Aftermath, Vengeance of the Slayer. And yeah. It's a first-person shooter in the style of Duke Nukem 3D. And it's, you got to look at it. I'm not going to say no more, but it's worth it.
It oozes style. It's got a very particular voice, it seems like, just from like the marketing that Herf has shared.
Absolutely,
with us.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks really cool. Rick, do you want to jump in next, or do you want me to go? Do you need more time to think?
Well, I think I'm going to actually take things a little further away from Link to the Past, because one of the things that I was involved with this past year was the Zelda 1 Randomizer 2023 tournament, and we had our first ever tie in that tournament a few months ago. It was my round of 32 match against Magic Friends, and it was so close. It was 0.14 seconds difference between me and Magic French, to the point that we had to throw the race out and we had to do it all over again. And then 2 days later, we had another race that came down to just over a second between the two runners there as well. We thought we were going to have two ties in the Zelda 1 randomizer tournament after having nothing that tight all before that.
Wow. That's great. And to have both of them happen to the same people is absolutely wild.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, have both of them have been happening 2 days apart. Now, it wasn't that other tie or the other questionable tie was not me and Magic Friends. People. It was a different pairing. Gotcha. Okay. But it turned out to be the Thurwolf, who was in the finals of the tournament there, wound up getting what was a race time that GG tied. It turned out to be a 1 second difference because one person hit the button too slow compared to the other. But we were able to determine the winner of that race.
Nice. You got to do your retimes, you know, just goes to show. Well, that's very cool. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Zelda 1. It's always good to check in on our cousins, you know, the Zelda 1s and the Zooters of the world. So for my shout out, I want to shout out a movie, and it just came out on HBO Max, or I guess just Max now it's called, whatever. And the movie is called Reality. Have either of you heard of this? Anything about it?
No, doesn't ring a bell. Maybe I've seen like a poster or a trailer or something, but
maybe there's been some stuff I've seen here and there, but I had nothing associates with that name for right this second for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it is starring Sydney Sweeney, who you might recognize from Euphoria or the first season of White Lotus. She's a really talented actress. And the script of this movie is a transcript from an interview that the FBI did with an NSA agent, basically. So first of all, I just think that's a really cool way to make a movie, to take a transcript of an actual conversation that was recorded and basically reenact that into a movie. So I was just so fascinated by that type of filmmaking. I've never seen anything like that. I hope more movies do that. But I guess I don't want to spoil it too much, but I got a notification on my watch while I was watching it that I had an elevated heart rate for the last 10 minutes. And I was just laying in bed watching this movie. That's how intense it is. So really well acted, really cool script, cool idea for a movie. It's called Reality, and it's on HBO Max. So that's my recommendation. Everyone who is able to should definitely go check that out. It's a great movie.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of the episode. And I just wanted to say one more time, Adirondack Rick, thank you so much for joining us. This has been a ton of fun.
It's been an absolute pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for asking me to be on here. It's been nice to sit here and talk with you guys. And I guess when all things align, I'll be back here for episode 226.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, maybe. I did want to say even earlier, but now is probably the best time. I'm very much looking forward to hanging out at SGL again this year, which, yes. You know, seeing all you guys right now on cam currently, but we'll all be there. So that's going to be a good time.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It was really great to hear that you're going to be there back with us again this year, Herfy. I know we don't get to spend a lot of time because we're all doing our own little thing over there at Speed Gaming Live, but it's just definitely nice to be in the same space as opposed to 6 hours apart from each other here between East and your time.
Right. It's
absolutely.
It's just cool to, you know, walk out the door after your admin shift or whatever and just run into Tim or run into Rick or, you know, run into someone else that you've talked to a million times but never really get to hang out with.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I need to buy my ticket. I mean, I'm definitely going, like, for sure, but it's time to invest and make it official. Yeah. Cool. Rick, where can people find you on the internet?
All right, so you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/ADKRick. And I do have a YouTube, but that's usually more of a Twitch VOD archive repository over there. There's nothing much that I do over there outside of my usual yearly Zelda 1 randomizer clip show that I do for their tournament.
Cool.
I've got that. That's pretty much the main places where you can find me besides here on Discord.
Awesome. Great. Well, thanks again, like I said, for joining us. It's been a blast, and I hope that you listening have enjoyed yourselves as well. It is now time for us to go ahead and get out of here. So on behalf of my co-host, Herfy Durfy, and Adirondack Rick, I've been Tim. let's go ahead and mirror out.